From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, you are listening to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, with me Stephen as well, on February the 13th, 2020, here is more information about Indonesia. And we would like to begin with the news by Nuka Kusumawati, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo admits his communication with Xi Jinping. President orders politics, legal and security affairs minister and chief of national police to overcome intolerance cases. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo admitted that he had conversation on telephone with President of China Xi Jinping on Tuesday night. To journalists at the State Palace Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo explained that in his conversation with President Xi Jinping, he conveyed condolences for the outbreak of COVID-19 in China. COVID-19 is a new virus named by WHO for coronavirus, which becomes endemic in China. President Joko Widodo also expressed optimism that China will be able to overcome the COVID-19 problem in a short time. The president also explained that Indonesia is ready to provide assistance if needed by China. I had conversation on telephone with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Firstly, I expressed condolences and sympathy to the victims of the coronavirus in China. Then, I said that Indonesia will always be with China in a difficult time like this. I also stated that Indonesia believes that China can solve the coronavirus problem quickly. That's what I conveyed to President Xi Jinping.
Masa yang sulit seperti ini.
Previously, a number of media in China stated that President Xi Jinping on Tuesday night had communicated with President Joko Widodo. President Xi assured President Joko Widodo that China has won the war against the COVID-19. Xi also expressed his appreciation for the attention given by the Indonesian government to China. He further said, as a friendly country, Indonesia and China must walk hand in hand for the progress. President Joko Widodo at the State Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday mentioned that a number of intolerance cases in some regions in Indonesia must be resolved by the local governments. However, until now, the local governments are assumed to be unable to overcome the intolerance problems. Therefore, the president has instructed Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Mahfud MD, and the head of Indonesian police, General Idam Aziz, to immediately deal with the problems that occur both in Tanjung Balai Karimun and in North Minahasa.
Tadi juga saya sudah perintahkan kepada Menko Polhukam, kepada Kapolri.
I also just now ordered Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Indonesian Police Chief, to guarantee the implementation of freedom of worship and to take firm action against groups or communities that intervene with their worship based on the constitutional guarantee as stated. Do not let the intolerance exist, but the regional government must be able to resolve the case. But I see there is no response in this region. So I ordered the Menko Polhukam, the Indonesian police chief, that the cases must be resolved, but related to the church in Karimun, in Tanjung Balai, and the mosque in North Minahasa must be completed, because it becomes a bad precedent, which later can spread to other regions.
Harus dirampungkan karena menjadi presiden yang tidak baik mungkin nanti bisa menjalar ke daerah lain.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo emphasized that the Constitution has guaranteed freedom for people to believe their religions and beliefs. He said the Constitution provides a legal umbrella for people to worship based on their religions and beliefs. President Joko Widodo emphasized that the Indonesian government did not have planned to repatriate former ISIS members who had renounced Indonesian citizenship. After inaugurating new head of the Marine Security Agency, or Bakamla, at the State Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday, the president explained that the Indonesian government has security responsibilities towards all Indonesian people. The president also asked his staffs to identify comprehensively all ISIS members of former Indonesian citizens.
Ya, saya kira kemarin sudah disampaikan bahwa pemerintah memiliki tanggung jawab keamanan.
I think it has been announced that the government has security responsibility for 260 million Indonesians. That's what the government prioritizes. Therefore, the government does not have a plan to repatriate the people who are there, ISIS of ex-Indonesians. Secondly, I ordered that 689 people to be identified one by one, their names and who are they, where do they come from, so that the data is complete. So preventions of deterrence can be done here before the data is entered into immigration. This is firm.
Data itu komplit, sehingga cegah tangkal itu bisa dilakukan di sini kalau data itu dimasukkan ke imigrasi. Tegas ini.
Meanwhile, related to the children of ISIS members who were former Indonesian citizens, President Joko Widodo stated that they have the opportunity to return to Indonesia. However, the repatriation is restricted to children under 10 years old. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The process of ratifications of the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement, IACEPA, has been completed by the two countries and will be implemented in April. At the launching of the website 70 Years, 70 Stories in Jakarta on Wednesday, Deputy Ambassador of Australia, Alistair Cox, hopes that Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement is able to encourage trade and investment for both countries.
Well, the IACEPA is our new Australia-Indonesia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, which is just nearly ratified between the two countries and will enter into force soon. It's an agreement to boost trade and investment between our two countries, and there's a range of measures to increase trade and opportunities for both countries. I think after the agreement enters into force, which will probably be in April, 99% of all Indonesian exports will enter Australia duty-free, and a range of goods will enter into the Indonesian markets with new quota access, and will open up opportunities also for Australian exports and inputs into Indonesia's own production. There's also new arrangements to, encourage investment and other opportunities.
Deputy Ambassador Cox added the most important aspects of this agreement was to increase the knowledge of business people in both countries in terms of investment opportunities. Indonesia-Australia trade value for the past several years was $16 to $17 billion. Hopefully, the partnership agreement can be a stimulus and catalyst within the next 5 to 10 years. Speaking at the press briefing on Wednesday, February 12, 2020, Ambassador of Russia to the Republic of Indonesia, Ludmila Vorobieva, reiterated Russia's stance on U.S. President Donald Trump's deal of the century. She said, Russia has always believed that the only way to stop this war between Iraq and Palestine and bring peace to the two countries is through a two-state solution.
Our position is very clear. There needs to be a settlement to avoid the conflict that has been lasting for decades. But of course, the problem is that the sides of the conflict should be happy with it. How can you settle a conflict if one of the sides denies, is not willing to accept? Not only the matter of the U.S. proposes a deal, they say that it should be this way, but, if the Palestinians cannot accept it, well, it will not work. It will not stop the war. It will not stop people from being killed.
She said, this deal of the century will not work if the Palestinians were negative about it. When asked about the role Russia's plays in the Middle East, Ambassador Vorobieva said, Russia already plays a big role in trying to achieve peace in the Middle East, but she believes The solutions to these issues lies in the agreements between the two countries. She also briefly touched upon Russia's role in the ongoing war in Syria, saying Russia is the only country that has been asked by the legitimate government of Syria to help them fight terrorism. Director of Medical Services at the Ministry of Health of Singapore, Kenneth Mack, at a media conference in Singapore on Wednesday, February 12th, confirmed 3 new cases of the COVID-19. Channel News Asia has reported with the 3 new cases, the number of cases in Singapore has touched 50. The director revealed 2 of the new cases are employees of the Grace Assembly of God Church, and the third person works at the DBS Bank in the Marina Bay Financial Center. The 3 patients have no recent travel history to mainland China. In response to this incident, the church announced on its Facebook page that services and activities will be suspended for the next 2 weeks.
Several of the cases are linked to the Life Church and Missions at Singapore, and this was previously announced as well. 2 new cases, both of which are linked to Grace Assembly of God Church. We have noticed that several of the clusters are associated with places where people might aggregate together for activities, and this includes the church. And we would want to remind particularly all members of the congregation for these churches to continue to monitor themselves and make sure that they remain in good health. And if they find that they are unwell, particularly with respiratory symptoms, we would encourage them then to see a doctor as soon as is possible, to wear a mask on their way to see a doctor, and also while they are not well, not to travel and carry on their normal activities.
The director said the virus transfers through droplets or contamination of services. He stressed that there was no established evidence of the transfer of the virus through air and advised people to wash their hands frequently with soap and water and also be mindful of the things they commonly touch. CNA reported the number of patients who have recovered from the COVID-19 rose to 15 on Wednesday, with 6 more people being discharged. U.S. President Donald Trump urged the Senate Wednesday to reject legislation to curb his ability to attack Iran without congressional approval, saying it was crucial to the country's security to not limit his war-making power. As quoted by VOA.com, President Trump said on Twitter, as the Senate debated the measures, "The U.S. is doing very well with Iran, and this is not the time to show weakness. It is very important for our country's security that the United States Senate not vote for the Iran War Powers Resolution." Trump tweeted, "Americans overwhelmingly support our attack on Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, killed in a Trump-ordered drone strike last month at the Baghdad airport." Senior ministers are bracing themselves for Boris Johnson's first major cabinet reshuffle since the Conservative General's elections victory. The Prime Minister will make a number of changes over the next 24 hours, although it is unclear how wide-ranging they will be. As quoted by BBC.com, Attorney General Jeffrey Cox said he would be uncomplaining if, as some expect, he is sacked or moved. Defense Secretary Ben Wallace told the BBC reshuffles were often brutal, but he was hopeful of staying in post. Health Secretary Matt Hancock joked at an event in London, "It's a huge pleasure to be here, and with the government reshuffle in the offing, it's a great time to be talking about longevity." A Downing Street source told the BBC the Prime Minister would reward those MPs who have worked hard to deliver on these government's priorities to level up the whole country and deliver the change people voted for last year. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's commentary entitled "Fate of ISIS Asks Indonesian Citizens." After weeks, finally, Indonesian government decided to reject the repatriation of around 689 members of ISIS-X Indonesian citizens who are now staying in Syria and Turkey. The pros and cons emerge from the government's decision. The question now is, how is the fate of hundreds of Indonesian citizens who now are stateless? In a closed cabinet meeting at Bogor Palace on Tuesday, led by the president, Indonesian government had issued official statement on repatriation rejection. After the meeting, Coordinating Minister for Politics, Legal and Security Affairs, Mahfud MD, said the government has no plan to let in the terrorists, even foreign terrorist fighters coming back to Indonesia. According to him, in the meeting's decision, government must be able to provide the sense of security from terrorists and new viruses for 267 million Indonesian citizens. Meanwhile, international law expert at Islamic University of Indonesia, Jawahir Tontowi, said Indonesian government's rejection towards members of ISIS ex-Indonesian citizens will affect negatively the image of Indonesia in front of Muslims and international people. Jawahir said the government could be seen to violate international convention on citizenship. Besides that, the government could also be blamed internationally for rejecting the ex-Indonesian citizens without trial. Currently, there are 10,000 to 11,000 members of ISIS militants and supporters arrested in Iraq and Syria. From tens of thousands, 2,000 of them were foreign militants from outside Iraq and Syria. Quoting UNHCR, 27% of the total ISIS are female, and 67 are under 12 years old children. Then, there were some countries also rejected them from coming back, such as England, United States of America, France, and Australia. Only Italy allowed their citizens to return. However, later, France and Australia finally let their citizens for humanitarian reasons, mainly women and children. Reflecting from Italy, Australia, and France, will Indonesia follow them? For information, some Indonesian citizens joined ISIS in Syria because they were tricked by promises and labor issues. Most of ex-ISIS Indonesian citizens are women and children. Indeed, Indonesia needs to be careful and see further to keep the security and peace in the country. But at the same time, Indonesia needs to still be fair towards the member of ISIS ex-Indonesian citizens. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History start from an event on February 13, 1946, when Indonesian Pharmacy Expert Association was established. 6 months after the proclamation of Republic of Indonesia, a National Pharmacy Expert Association was established on February 13, 1946 at Merdeka Hotel in Yogyakarta with the first chairman, Zainal Abidin. As the first chairman, Zainal Abidin, along with Casio, was assigned to move pharmaceutical goods and machines from Jakarta to Yogyakarta because there was news that the Dutch would take control of the pharmaceutical center. The medicines, raw materials, and also machines were carried out by train. The assignment was completed in 2 months by carrying items step by step in order to be unknown by the Dutch checking officers at border lines. Zainal Abidin and his pharmacist assistants finally succeeded in moving the pharmaceutical materials and machines and gave to the warriors of Republic of Indonesia who needed them. Next event is that in 1955, Israel claimed 4 of 7 of the Dead Sea manuscripts. The Dead Sea manuscripts consisted of around 900 documents, including texts of Hebrew scriptures between 1947 and 1956 in 11 caves in Wadi Qumran and surrounding areas at the southwest of the beach of the Dead Sea. Texts have the important religious and historical meaning because they were the only one of practical Bible documents which were made between 150 BC and 70 AD. According to views which were universally accepted until the 1990s, The documents were written and hidden by a community of Assani people who live in Qumrand. On February 13, 1955, Israel succeeded in collecting 4 of 7 manuscripts which were bought by Israeli researchers from antique dealers. The last event was in 1960 when France tested the first atom bomb. France began its nuclear program with the assistance of Israeli scientists. On February 13, 1960, France successfully detonated the first atom bomb with Gerbois blue code. The explosion measured 60 kilotons and was tested in the Sahara Desert. France has around 350 nuclear warheads. France has tested nuclear explosions as many as 210 times. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Di sini rumah kita yang terindah. Indonesia.
You are still with us, English Service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. More information about Indonesia will be presented in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is 7 Ministries or Institutions Signing Agreement About Maritime Safety and Marine Tourism. 7 ministries and institutions signed a cooperation agreement on shipping safety and maritime environmental protection according to the management of marine protected areas and marine tourism at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Investment Office in Jakarta on Wednesday. The signing of the cooperation agreement was led by Acting Deputy for Maritime Sovereignty of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Investment, Purbaya Yudi Sadewa. The agreement was signed by representatives of ministries or institutions, namely Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Investment, Ministry of Transportation, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Ministry of Tourism, the Geospatial Information Agency, and the Indonesian Armed Forces. Purbaya Yudi Sadewa said that the signing of this cooperation agreement is aimed at integrating, harmonizing, and facilitating access related to shipping safety and maritime environmental protection, management of marine conservation areas, and marine tourism. In addition, the signing of the cooperation also discussed the strength of each ministry or agency in overseeing Indonesian waters. This is important to take immediate action when there are problems such as in Natuna waters. The strength in each ministry, agency, and also TNI can be optimized for the response efforts. Moreover, Purbaya emphasized the importance of shipping safety and maritime protection. He hopes the incident like the shipwreck that hit coral reefs in Raja Ampat some time ago will no longer happen. Therefore, to anticipate similar incidents, the ministries and institutions are currently making navigation channels and sea maps in the Raja Ampat Marine Protected Area. Through this cooperation agreement, there have been agreed data synchronization and sea maps. Ministries and institutions that carry out activities at sea use a sea map made by the Navy Center for Hydrographics and Oceanography. Aside from being a navigation tool, data synchronization can also be used to identify the potential for marine tourism, the calculation of the value of ecosystem services, as well as the calculation of the impact of environmental damage in Indonesian waters. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kamu tak akan pernah percaya kau kan selalu ada di sampingku selalu.
Thank you. You are still listening to English Service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next, tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people in Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will introduce you to Noko Island in East Java. Listener, Gresik is one of regencies in East Java, which is located in the northern part of Java Island. The regency also covers Bawean Island, which is located about 120 km north of Gresik Regency. The Bawean Islands have many beautiful small islands such as Noko Island, Gili Timur Island, and many other tourist attractions. On this occasion, we will introduce you to a small uninhabited island with beautiful views, both the land and underwater views. Noko Island is only overgrown with shrubs. Throughout the land, there is only white sand stretching along 1 kilometer. However, if you come to the island someday, you will surely be fascinated by its natural beauty. The seawater is blue and very clear, so that its beauty can be seen without the need to dive. Many activities can be done to enjoy the underwater beauty of the island, such as swimming, snorkeling and diving, if you bring your own diving equipment, because there is no available rental equipment for diving on the island. Unfortunately, enjoying the beauty of Noko Island is not easy because it is located in quite remote area. Visitors who come from Surabaya must firstly travel for 1 hour to Gresik City. Then you must take a trip that takes approximately 3 hours crossing the Java Sea from the port of Gresik to Bawean Island. From the Bawean port, the visitors will continue their trip for 20 minutes to reach Noko Island by motor boat owned by local fishermen. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Noko Island in East Java. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
mana saja, tak ada berita, sedikit cerita tak ku baca lagi, pesan di ujung malam. Dan Jakarta muram kehilanganmu, terang lampu kota tak lagi sama. Puing yang tertinggal, sampai kapan akan selalu berlari, hingga kini masih selalu ku nanti-nanti. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana, mangga apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya, izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Hey cantik, bawa aku jalan, jalan kaki saja menyusuri kota. Ceritakan semua ceritamu padaku. Ya Jakarta, diam kehilanganmu, bau wangi hujan tak lagi sama. Kau jemput musik yang tertinggal, sampai kapan aku kan bernyanyi sendiri, hingga kini masih selalu menanti-nanti. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana, mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya, izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Ingat waktu itu ku bertanya, aku mau dengar jawabnya. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana, mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya, izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia. More information about Indonesia is in the following, but it will be about Indonesian interesting information and miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on as many as 2020 International Kebaya Lovers will gather in Yogyakarta. Kebaya
kebaya is women's national clothes that are popular in Indonesia. Kebaya has various types and motif that follow the changing of times. Therefore, kebaya becomes the pride of Indonesian women. As many as 2020 women from various countries will gather in Yogyakarta. They plan to break the world record by wearing the most kebaya on February 20, 2020. The event titled 2020 Kebaya Dress Women has held by the collaboration of the Archipelago Indigenous People, Srikandi Nusantara of the Indigenous People of the Archipelago and Tiara Kusuma Yogyakarta, the Indonesian Salon Entrepreneur Organization, Regional Management Board, Raden Ayudhyah Purnamasari Zuhar, Chairperson of the 2020 Committee for Kebaya Women, explained, "Since this activity we opened earlier this year, the response was extraordinary, not only from within the country, but also abroad." The foreign participants who will participate in the event, which is centered in Sleman City Hall in Yogyakarta, are from Japan, Singapore, Malaysia, and Hungary. Number of representatives from African continent will also join the event, while domestic participants from Enggano, which is the outermost island of Indonesia. Enggano Island is part of the North Bengkulu Regency, Bengkulu. The enthusiasm of the participants was considered quite encouraging because making kebaya Indonesian women's clothing worldwide. It is no longer just a typical Japanese women's clothing. They will appear to break the world record of 2020 women dressed in kebaya with Nusantara batik clothes and together to call for world peace. In addition to breaking record, also participating in various competition, participants coming from across ethnicities, nationalities, cultural, custom, religious and belief and languages will also call for a spirit of world peace. That was Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening. Sekian.
terus mencoba mengerti ini, mengertikan dirimu. Susah ku terima, senang tak pernah kau bagi.
The next one will be an information about a song that we would like to play only for you. So make sure that you will keep listening. Stay tuned in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to the regular music corner. Today, we will present you a nostalgic song titled Ingatkah Kau Padaku by Iis Sugiarti. The debut singing career of Iis Sugiarti began when she released the album Di Sini Aku Menanti in 1985. With the leading song titled Di Sini Aku Menanti, she gained popularity among the music lovers in Indonesia. The second album of Iis Sugiarti titled Ingatkah Kau Padaku was also successfully produced and booming. This album has a leading song with the same title to the album, which was released in 1986. The song tells a story of a woman who misses her ex-lover while the man is now happily with another. Listener, let us listen to the song Ingatkah Kau Padaku. Happy listening.
Duduk malam ini, wajahmu terbayang.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's been almost an hour, and it seems that it's time for me to move on to the next service. But in the meantime, before we move on, do not forget to send your questions and also suggestion and criticism. Send it to our email, voi@voanews.id, and also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. I'm Stephen as well. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.